Father in heaven, we want to thank you for today and the opportunity to pray for the congregation. Lord, I want to lift up Roger as he has been out. We want to continue that you heal him, protect him, and give him comfort in his new location. And we also want to lift up Nora as she cares for her brother, Jimmy. We know that you care for them deeply. And Lord, as we go through this service, I pray for your spirit to give me the right words and also in this glorious day as we begin our service. In the name of Christ our King, amen. Please join me in the call to worship. John asked Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or we are to wait for another?" Jesus said, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and the leprous are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Truly, I tell you, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." We will light the third Advent candle to remind us the good news that the blind can see and the lame can walk. Now, please turn to page 861 and join me in reading Psalms 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights. Praise the Lord, all his angels. Praise the Lord, all his hosts. Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all shining stars. Praise the Lord, highest heavens, and all waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded that they all be created, who established them forever and ever, and fixed their bonds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all depths. Fire and hailstorm and smoke and stormy wind fulfilling God's command. Mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all the peoples, princes and the rulers of the earth. Young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is exalted, whose glory is above the heavens. God has raised up the horn for his people. Praise for all the faithful ones, for all the people of Israel who are near their God. Praise the Lord. Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke 1, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent to God in the city of Galilee, called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was perplexed at this statement and kept pondering, "What kind of salutation is this?" The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. and she is called barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. The angel departed from her. Let us pray. Father in heaven, rejoice in this opportunity to open the word of God as we look at this season, the season to remember every year of your Son coming and being among us, and all the prophecies that entail about the coming of the King of Kings. Amen and amen. Now, in this message from the angel last week, we had John's backstory. And this time we have once again, the angel is delivering a message, and it is engulfed in prophecy once again. This prophecy comes from Isaiah 7:14, where it says, Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, the angel gave the message to Zacharias, and he was terrified. In this particular story, the angel gave his message to Mary, and she was perplexed. And who was this Mary and her husband Joseph? How important were they to fulfill this prophecy? Well, Joseph was of the line of David. And in Matthew chapter 1:1-17, there's a list of genealogy that goes from Adam all the way to David, and then David all the way to Joseph. But also, Mary is included in that same lineage. And the prophetical text in 2 Samuel 7:12-16... It says, When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendants after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him, and the rod of men, and the strokes of the Son of Man. By my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever. Your throne shall be established forever, in accordance with all the words and all this vision, so Nathanael spoke to David. So I want you to understand that this promise in 2 Samuel to David was that his kingdom would reign forever, that his descendants and relatives would sit on the throne forever. And then we have chapter 11, verse 1, where it says, Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Once again, talking about the line of David. And then we have Jeremiah 23:5-6, where it says, Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll raise up for David a righteous branch. And he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. And in his days, Judah will be saved. Israel will be delivered securely. And this is his name by which he'll be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now I read all those because they're the promise being fulfilled by God of the fact that David's relatives and future descendants would all be reigning on the throne of Israel. And of course, the one I read earlier in Isaiah about Mary was a virgin. The only reason we have Joseph and Mary is because they are of the line of David. And this is why the angel's message is very important to Mary. Because you see back in the message here where it says, "And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.'" You see, Mary was favored, and the Lord is with you. This is much different than the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, because Zacharias and Elizabeth, God said that they were righteous, and they had obeyed the laws that they were supposed to, so they were righteous in the sight of God. That is not the case for Mary here. He says Mary was favored. Well, the difference between being favored and righteous means that you have gone through, followed the laws of God, you've done the sacrifices necessary to cover your sin. Favored is our position as Christians today. Christ's blood covers our sin. We are favored by God. It's not that we're righteous. The only righteousness we have is the righteousness of Christ himself. So here is where we come in odds with the Catholic faith, because they hold that Mary was righteous and blameless at this time. Because if Jesus was righteous and blameless, then Mary had to be also, because passing sin down to Jesus didn't happen. But that's not the case. Scripture teaches that Mary was favored, just like us. And so even though she sinned, God favored her and blessed her with the Son of God. So this kind of talk greatly perplexed her. And also in this message that the angel brings out, the angel tells her to name the baby Jesus. Now, names are very important because he would be conceived and be the offspring of God, the Son Most High. And if you note in the message, he is being conceived. He's not being transplanted. He's a mix of human and God. And this is very important to our doctrine, because we know that Jesus was fully human and Jesus was fully God. And so the names listed for Jesus speak to all this. He was Jesus, the Son of the Most High, and the Son of God. And stating that he will be given the throne of David and reign in the house of Jacob, which is Israel. And his kingdom will have no end. That's very important, because the promise is what we read back in Samuel and Jeremiah. All talked about David's kingdom would be forever and have no end. So all of this is showing that this is an eternal kingdom, fulfilling prophecies from the Old Testament. And if you remember, it started out back there in Samuel, where it says that David would be buried with his fathers, but not Christ. Christ was not buried. Christ was buried and rose again from the dead, and he does not stay with his fathers, but he is alive today, reigning in his kingdom forever and ever. Now, this message that the angel brought to Mary will change her life forever. It'll never be the same. But yet she calls herself a bondslave of the Lord. That means she realizes she's there, she's the Lord's property, and she's to be used in the way and the manner which he declares. Now, we got Mary who's pregnant, and we have another story there in Matthew, verses chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And this is what it says. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, began being a righteous man. Note that, he's a righteous man. And not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son, he shall be called Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took Mary his wife and kept her a virgin until she came to the birth of a son and called his name Jesus. So we have a very interesting situation here, because you and I and the rest of the world knows there's only one way to get pregnant, and that's to spend time with a man. So obviously, Mary cheated on him. It's very clear evidence. Joseph had an exact right to cast her away. But not just that. Everybody knew. If it wasn't another man, it had to be Joseph, and he cheated on his time of having sex out of wedlock. But the angel spoke to Joseph in a dream. And in our American society, dreams are not important. Where we were in Brazil, dreams are very, very important. People spoke about their dreams. They felt that dreams came from the gods, that the gods spoke to them in dreams. And many Christians felt that when they had significant dreams, it was God speaking to them. So it's not something that we accept here in our American culture. But to Joseph, it was enough to make a major decision about life. And so Joseph is given a bit of a different message from the angel in this dream. One, again, his name's supposed to be Jesus. So they were both told to name the child Jesus. And he will save his people. Well, his people are the Jews. So he's going to be the Savior, the Messiah, the Chosen One. And he was told by the angel that he will be Emmanuel, God with us. And so from this one dream, he obeyed the angel's instructions without question. He understood that his wife's pregnancy was not from another man. So as we end the story here, there's some things you have to kind of understand and grasp. Number one, all of our understanding of who Christ is, the prophecies of how he got here, all sit on these cornerstones of the angel's message to us, that it's a fulfillment of prophecy, and that this young gal who was obviously pregnant. Now, the rest of the world must have looked at her and said, yeah, right, she's pregnant. There's only one way to get pregnant. And this is the problem with a lot of non-believers out there. They don't have faith. They read that story and they say, obviously, someone's lying. And for Joseph to believe in a dream, he could have had this dream from a piece of bad meat that he ate. But yet, we're called to believe that the total evidence that is stated there before is all wrong, because an angel showed up for a message and gave this message in a dream and to Mary herself. So for a lot of non-believers, this is too much to swallow. But yet this gives our doctrine that Jesus was fully human, because it says he was conceived, And he's fully God, because the Father was God, and this is his only Son. So again, the Christmas story provides us all sorts of foundations that we live off of our faith. And the doctrine that comes out for the reason why he came was to save his people from sin. He did not come to rule and reign as much of the Old Testament talks about. And it's the type of Savior that the disciples were looking at. They were expecting the Messiah to come and rule and reign and cast out the Romans. Instead, he came to die on a cross, which is why the wise men brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because the myrrh and the frankincense are used for burial of a body. So keep that in mind, that the Christmas story is so important to us. It tells us who Jesus is, and that the message of the angel tells us it's all about fulfilled prophecies and promises, not just a baby born in a manger. Thank you. Now, please stand and open your hymnals to page 880 for the Nicene Creed. Please join me. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all that is seen and unseen. We believe in the one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, from one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He is incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and become truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. In accordance to the Scripture, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come in again in glory and judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken to the prophets, and believe in the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look at the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.